Lunchtime is your connect time. Join Ian Bess for an hour of trending news, fascinating stories, creative dinner ideas peppered with good music. Wednesday at midday, join Ian Bess for The Lunch Bite.
Welcome back to The Lunch Bite, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show. Welcome to The Lunch Bite, Louis Karpus. How are you, Louis?
Good afternoon, Ian. Thank you very much. I'm very well, and you?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm glad you could take a bit of time out from your busy day to have a bit of lunch with us and to talk about something that I think is on everybody's lips and everybody's talking about is the return to the Premier League. Are you excited, Louis?
Well, as I mentioned this morning with Howard, it was okay. I never ever had that sensation of looking forward to the first day at school, but I do clearly understand the people that do get excited about going back to school on their first day, because for me it is like going back to school on the first day, and excited is not even the word. I mean, I'm absolutely delighted and cannot wait for the first match to kick off this evening.
It's incredible, and it almost like almost a World Cup in a way, with so many matches. From what I can recall, there's something like 92 matches still to play, and it seems like we're going to have all this football. We're not going to know what to do with ourselves.
As I was saying, there are, as you say, over 90 matches to go. That's just in the Premier League. There's also, of course, Spanish League, Italian League, Bundesliga all starting, but it's going to be very weird. I've watched a couple of games already, and the sound effects that are being played in for the empty stadiums and these pictures of fans and artificial spectators in the stadiums.
And I think that's the challenge that we're all having now is that we left Premier League somewhere in March. And yet we've come back now, and not only is the world a very different place, but the environment that the players are playing in is totally different. So I think the first couple of matches, and I know that we've got two on this evening. The first match, if I'm not mistaken, is a bit of a curtain raiser, but the big one is the Manchester game and Manchester and Arsenal. That's going to be a big one. But I think it's going to be weird for the players,
yeah,
and I guess for the spectators.
What I think is going to be the most difficult of all, particularly for the players, is to get out of a routine that they've been since they were, some of them, 2 and 3 years old when they kicked the football for the first time. Things like goal celebrations, things like screaming and shouting at the referee, this cleaning of your nose has been banned. So I think that's disgusting. The way they blow their nose into the hand or onto the, that I think is just disgusting. And I'm sure most people would agree with me.
Absolutely.
And the spitting, which is also totally unnecessary, I think. But the getting up close to the referee, are referees going to brandish yellow cards to try and stop that? We don't know yet. Mm. We'll find out this evening. And then most importantly of all is the goal celebrations. I mean, your immediate reaction after scoring a goal at the level that these guys are playing and for the years that they've been playing is to immediately grab, hug and kiss your fellow teammate. And it's so difficult to do such thing. And I've noticed that in the Spanish league, and it's quite weird because the camera will show you the goal celebration and then show you the bench, and there's social distancing with the substitutes wearing masks. So it just doesn't really make sense to me. The players have all been tested, and they are COVID free, those that are going to be in and on the park. And it reminds me of early not really that early in my career, but we used to have a big issue with boxing and HIV positive boxers. And the reason for that was because obviously if you bleed while you're boxing and you've got no protection in your eyes in particular, and you get punched in the eye and the blood is on the glove of an opponent who happens to be tested HIV, they then banned all HIV positive boxers from participating in sport because of the fact that you are so exposed through your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. And of course, these guys have been tested, but you can be tested last week and pick the virus up this week and then pass it on. We've already seen positive tests in quite a few of the Premier League and lower league teams, as well as in the European teams, the likes of the Spanish leagues and the German Bundesliga. So, you know what? Life has to go on. And at a point, you have to make a decision as to what do you do. And they've made the decision. It is exactly 100 days since the last Premier League game was
days,
played.
Wow.
Exactly 100 days. And to be honest with you, I don't know how you feel, but it kind of seems like it was just yesterday. Everybody was talking about, well, Liverpool are two games away from winning the Premier League. And then, oops, 100 days later, they're still two games away from winning the Premier League.
And you're listening to myself and one of my favorite sports broadcasters and commentators. And that may bring back a couple of memories, eh, Louis?
It certainly does. And I'll tell you why it does, Ian, because it was released in 1982. And it was in the early 80s that I started traveling the world. And it's amazing how when in those days, there obviously weren't things like cell phones, and it was extremely expensive to call back home, and you didn't have FaceTime or Instagram, and we didn't have the same restrictions in those days as you have now. So as a member of the media, you would travel with the teams that you went overseas with, and it was a reminder of where we came from. We were out of isolation. We were not really liked very much by a lot of people in the early 80s because, of course, of apartheid. And you just had that warmth when that song was released in 1982. And it kind of like became a theme song for many of us and we didn't have, as I say, phones to play it on, and it would occasionally come on the radio and you would get that warm, fuzzy feeling of back home, and the unity and the camaraderie between yourself and the players or the few spectators that there were, or expats that were living in the country that you were in, and how proud they were. Remember in 1982, when we were pretty much readmitted into sport, when Nelson Mandela was released from prison, there was still the old South African flag. So it was quite easy to recognize a South African in the crowd, or whether there were South Africans in the crowd. And it kind of like brought you together, and you would hear the South African accent overseas. And that song in particular was one that really reminded you of home. And we spent many, many, many weeks away from home. I remember the first year that we traveled, and 1982 being that year, we started off in Australia and New Zealand for 9 weeks for the Cricket World Cup, a couple of weeks practice matches, and then the tournament itself, and then back to South Africa. And then, of course, I spent in that particular year 27 weeks outside of South Africa of the 52 weeks of the year, living in hotel rooms and packing my suitcase, landing back in South Africa. There was also in that particular year the Paris Le Cap, which is the Paris Dakar. That's the 1 year only that it came to Cape Town, Paris to Cape Town. There were world boxing title fights around the world. There were all sorts of events that South Africans were allowed to participate in. And my suitcase was pretty much packed depending on whether I was in a country that was in sunshine or a country that was freezing cold and snowing.
Wow, Louis. And I think if you think back to all those days and how we weren't as privileged, or we didn't have access to all the sport that we do on television. Like we didn't see as much sport as we did now. So this 100-day hiatus that we've had from the Premier League is almost like living in the past a bit, in the sense that we've longed for it. And I guess there'll probably be an appreciation for what we actually have accessible in terms of sport. I guess commentating was also very different for you, having to commentate matches without the technology that we have today.
Very much so. You know, I obviously started my broadcasting career in radio, completely and utterly in radio. There was no Mnet, as it was early known, and now as we know it as DSTV / Supersport. There was a little bit of sport on Top Sport, which was the SABC's version of what today is Supersport. Nothing like what Supersport is now, I might add.
I wonder how many of our listeners will actually remember the name Top Sport.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a couple, certainly those that were my age, and I'm sure a couple might remember seeing me wearing that awful maroon blazer that they made us wear, particularly when we were broadcasting the Grand Prix on a Sunday afternoon, which pretty much outside of local Currie Cup action was really the only international sport that was broadcast in those days was the Grand Prix on a Sunday afternoon. I'm sure people remember the name Roger McCleary and Graham Duxbury and Hendrik Verfoot, the three or four of us. We were on Top Sport doing the Grand Prix. I mean, I know people thought that it was so glamorous. I'll give you a little insight. We were paid 25 rand to broadcast a Grand Prix on Top Sport during those days because there was, of course, no competition. And then Supersport, well, as 25 rand. Okay. And the reason the SABC said that they were paying us 25 rand was a token amount of money because they believed that because of our popularity being on television, we were able to make lots of money by doing functions outside of work. But then at the same time, we weren't allowed to work outside of the SABC because it contradicted the government's rules and regulations under the state-run organization as it was then. Not that it isn't now, but I remember when I joined Mnet, the first time I joined Mnet, which was late 1989, somewhere, 1990, somewhere around there, there literally was a caravan stroke combi that was parked outside the boardroom of the offices in Randburg where we broadcast the Saturday afternoon show, which was the first events were Premier League FA Cup matches. And then obviously the studios that you see in today are nothing like the studios we worked in then. And, it was in a little booth. I'm sure you'll remember the continuity announcers that used to announce the next movie. So there was one channel, which was then given 4 hours on a Saturday afternoon, which was the show that I presented on a Saturday, which, Gary Bailey, the Manchester United goalkeeper, was my guest on. Terry Payne was the guest. And
wow,
we used to broadcast
how are these names, Louis?
Yeah, you know, one game of Premier League football, and I was funny talking about Gary just yesterday because I don't know how many people know that he started his career at Fitz University before he went on to play for Manchester United. And, of course, Fitz University is about to close down. Their football club's been bought out. And we would broadcast from a boardroom, which on a Friday was the boardroom, and on a Saturday was a studio, and a Sunday was converted back to, and straight after the football game was then used to broadcast what today is Carte Blanche. It was tiny. It was a little broadcast facility in a little square, maybe, I don't know, 200-300 square meters of building in Randburg, where we started. And then slowly but surely it progressed and more sports events, started getting, shown. Shows like the Gillette World Sports Special. People used to, they went crazy for it, and because it showed you little bits and pieces of sports events that we'd never seen from around the world. You know, winter sports like skiing and ice skating and yachting and events like that that we had ever seen on television in South Africa. As I say, when I worked for Top Sport, it was Kyalami motor racing. It was powerboat, Formula One powerboat racing. There was a little bit of soccer that you saw on television, not very well produced. And obviously the rugby, which was the national sport of South Africa, got all the attention and the likes of, I think, 6 or maybe 8 cameras that were in those stadiums in those days compared to the 40 cameras that they are now. Slow motion replays, all the technology in the world that you can think of where you'd rather watch it from your living room than actually physically go to the ground. And I'm not one of those people that ever really enjoyed wearing a jacket and tie and sitting in a commentary box, but that's how it was. So, I mean, you had to dress extremely smartly, go out there as a member of the media and sit in the commentary box, and that's how you broadcast, jacket and tie. I mean, even to this day, funnily enough, first day of a test match.
Yeah,
the first day of a test match, the media still wear a jacket and tie. And I watch with fascination, to be honest with you, at a lot of sports that are being broadcast at the moment that the presenters in the studio are dressed as if they're going to a wedding, and the sportsmen and women on the field are wearing sometimes as little as a bathing costume.
Absolutely, Louis. What are your memories? 061-895-1019 or SMS us on 34519. What do you remember from watching sport back in the day. And before we take a next break, I just want to play a clip from somebody who wants to share their insights on the Premier League and the return.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
It's Brad Caftor. Yes, so you asked me what is the status on the local league starting up. So I think there is much effort from the Premier Soccer League to create a solution to play behind closed doors, and they are engaging with government on that level. It has happened abroad, so on a similar basis, they are looking to restart the league. It is quite a crazy situation because there's only 6 games to go in the local league, and we haven't played for 3 months. It's quite a long time. It's going to need at least a month or more to get the players fit again. You know, so I can't see us resuming the league certainly probably until August. Of course, at this time, we're in winter in the Southern Hemisphere, and the rate of the COVID-19 infections is increasing. So it's a tough situation that we find ourselves in. In Europe, they're into summer, and it appears that the COVID virus doesn't thrive in the warm weather, and that's helping their whole situation, and they're able to resume. We're only going to be in summer in September, October, which is quite a few months away. So I think there's no finality locally as to when this league will resume. I suppose another possibility could be that if it drags on too long and there isn't a workable solution, they could look to, you know, to finalize the league in its current situation. As I say, most of the league has been completed. And they would obviously have to then try their best to keep all parties happy. And there are various recipes or options that could happen to do that. So I think that's where it is. As the league stands, a lot to play for. I mean, you've got Mamelodi Sundowns chasing down Kaizer Chiefs to win the league, and that's an exciting finish. Chiefs are ahead, but Sundowns have been finishing fast, so that's an interesting situation. At the bottom of the league, you've got a bunch of teams that are really, really close. You know, so that can change weekly. You know, and there's six weeks, you can argue, or 6 games to go, so that can change weekly. As far as the top 8 is concerned, we as Highlands Park, we're sitting in 8th place. Bloem Celtic are behind us with a game in hand, you know, and it's pretty much, it's a lot to play for there. So, still a lot to play for in the league. There's also a Nedbank Cup. You've got 4 teams into a semi-final and a final, and you know, that's standing by waiting to happen. So it's really sad that we haven't been able to finish this league up at this point. I mean, normally the leagues by May, and the cups by May are all done, and we're into June and we're still in a bit of limbo. So it's been a very tough time for footballers. It's also been a tough time for footballers trying to stay fit and keep their skills sharp. Not easy at all. So we'll have to watch the space. I don't have any definitive answers other than I know that our executive committee at the Premier Soccer League is engaging with government continuously looking for a possible solution. So let's wait and see, and let's hope that we get some finality soon, which I think could possibly happen. All the best.
What do you think of what Brad Caftor was saying?
Yeah, I think he's got a very good point there. In fact, all of his points I completely agree with. And I don't want this to sound like I'm being negative, but unfortunately, the way social distancing is being looked after here in South Africa is not necessarily the same as how it's being looked after in the rest of the world. Having said that, as I've mentioned before, come Sunday, if it is in fact going to be the day that Liverpool win the league and win it at Everton at Goodison Park, I don't think the number of policemen and horses can stop the Liverpool fans from invading the streets of Liverpool. I don't know if you've ever been to a football match in England, but the largest horses you've ever seen in your life, and policemen on top of those horses keep the control of the crowds. That's just not going to be possible. So how are you going to keep the Chiefs supporters away? They haven't won the Premier League in South Africa for years. And how do you stop some of the grounds? As you well know, you can go and stand on a hilltop and look into the stadium. So I think for safety's sake, I think he's being a little optimistic in terms of his time span I don't know what the rush is to complete the league. I mean, the players need to get fit. You don't want to send your best players out there who have been in lockdown, and the same, especially in rugby, applies when you consider that these rugby players have, for let's say over 100 days now, have not had any contact, in terms of contact with other players. You can't all of a sudden expect the scrum to go down with 800 kilos behind, the two props and the hooker in the front up against the other with no contact. You know, you can keep fit, but match fit and being fit are two totally different things.
Absolutely, Louis. Before we take the next clip, as I mentioned, we got some awesome people to take the clip. Just want to pick up some of the messages coming through. Your message has come through. Karen, thanks for sending in. Hi, Ian and Louis. Great interview. Times have changed. Karen saying here, excited about the US Open. Looking forward. So I guess, Louis, sport is not limited to Premier League. I know we're focusing on it today because the sport's starting, but we're seeing golf coming back. We're seeing Formula One coming back. But I think the critical thing is that these are now becoming TV sports, or they're becoming sports that we are accessing from the comfort of our home. And I guess this is going to be interesting for family dynamics, specifically people who have kind of taken over the traditional spaces where sport was watched. It looks like these places might have to be reclaimed by the sports lovers in the respective houses. Let's listen to this next clip.
Ian, hi, it's Raymond Heck, and a special welcome to Louis Karpis, a gentleman who I've known for many years. Louis, I hope you're well and staying healthy. I've been asked to describe my team. Well, there's only one way to describe it. You will never walk alone. The reason for the optimism is because it's probably taken Liverpool the longest time in history to win a Premier League. As to the key player, there's only one, Virgil van Dijk. The game that will define this team's season, I think Sunday's game against Everton, because the rivalry between those two has always been astronomical. The fact that we've had 100 days off and they now have to come up against each other, and the fact that it's at Goodison Park is all the rivalry you need to ensure that there's a game of the highest caliber. And I think if Liverpool are to win the league very soon, I think that game is going to be the one that's going to define it. Hope you're all well and stay healthy.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
Raymond Hack there weighing in. Sorry, Lou, you want to say something about reclaiming the sports chair or the television or the remote?
So firstly, let me say thank you. Yes, Raymond, we do go back a long time. The only problem is that you never walk alone, and I'm a red devil. But that's just besides the point. Yeah, let me just explain something to you that I think people need to take into perspective and understand. So we've had an amazing amount of virtual sport, which I think has been fantastic. I think the Le Mans 24 Hour, the Comrades Marathon, all of these virtual events. There's even been a virtual French Open Tennis Championship, and many more, that I haven't even mentioned. But sport cannot survive without bums in the seats. Mm-hmm. So don't despair that your husband is going to be sitting in front of the television set. You will still get the opportunity to have your friends over in the weekend when you've booted him out and he's gone to the Wanderers to spend a Sunday watching the cricket at the Wanderers, because it cannot survive without spectators. It cannot survive without season ticket holders. It cannot survive without, especially the big stadiums, the vendors who are normally in the new era owned by the franchise, the hot dog stands, the beer, etc., etc. Think about the cricket stadiums in England, the new ones that have been built that include 180 to 200, sometimes even 300 room hotels built into the stadium. So it will not be forever. It might be for the next 6 months, let's hope less, but you are going to always have to have spectators in stadiums for the sports to survive, because you need the income to pay the players, etc., etc. It can never and will never only be a television sport.
Absolutely, Louis. And before we go to the rest of our clips, because I want to get through all of our clips during our time, but at the same time, I also want to chat to you a little bit about you. So, Louis, our listeners that don't really know much about your background. We all know about your passion for sports, and we love listening to you on the morning and the afternoon show. But I don't know that you were, first of all, scared of horror movies. Louis, you don't strike me one as that gets scared easily.
Don't even go there. Just the word horror movie. In fact, I'm not only scared of horror movies, but I admit to crying when Bambi got hurt. So I go from the one extreme to the other. I'm extremely soft-hearted and petrified of, even if you're watching something that's not a horror movie and something jumps out at you, don't send me one of those snakes jumping out of the screen on your phone, because that's me gone for a week, petrified.
Wow. Jeez, Louis. Okay, Louis, we're going to take a quick ad break, but one thing I want to ask our listeners, who remembers Louis as a DJ at top nightclubs in South Africa in the 80s? Love to hear from you. If you ever partied with Louis in the 80s at some of the clubs that he DJed, telegram us on 061-895-1019 or SMS us on 34519.
Five words to describe Liverpool, the greatest football club ever. Reason for optimism. I think they are runaway leaders in what's been a competitive league from a Man City point of view, probably the greatest Manchester City team ever. And for Liverpool to win so comprehensively or be so far ahead, certainly extremely impressive. From a key player point of view, as much as Salah and Mane and Van Dijk are obviously big players, I think that Alisson has made the biggest difference in terms of bringing stability and solidity to the back four and making a big difference in point conversion for Liverpool. And the greatest game this season for me was the Manchester United game. I think that just brought it home and sealed the deal. And now we just have to hope that Corona doesn't spoil the party.
The Premier League is upon us again. When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. Liverpool are two games away from being crowned Premier League champions. Despite COVID-19, remember one thing, Louis Karpis. You will never walk alone. This is Dr. Anton Marburg saying be safe and ole, ole, ole.
My team, Norwich City, in five words, beautiful football, don't get results. Reason for optimism, I think one or two home wins and suddenly we're right back in the mix in terms of staying up. And the home fixtures that we have, five of them, are all against teams in the bottom half of the table. So that's why I'm hopeful we'll beat the drop. Key player is Thiemo Pukki, our main striker. He has been banging in the goals of late. And if he's on form and scores some goals, we might be able to stay up. And the game that will define my team's season is Friday night's game at home to Southampton. Win that and we're right back in the mix and in amongst the other relegation teams, and then it's a dogfight to the end.
So sport coming back doesn't really make much of a difference in my life, especially because we're still not allowed to go to the stadium. So I'm only ever involved in the social aspect of, you know, games. When I can, you know, be at the stadium, I don't even watch the game when I'm there. So, you know, sport being back now and I'm not even able to go to the stadium to watch an actual live game really does not make a difference. But I am living with my brother at the moment and he's very excited, but we don't actually have DSTV or Wi-Fi at home. So he's actually been stressing a bit and like just urging me to get Wi-Fi because he's just, yeah, he won't be able to. So I don't know how that's going to work. There's going to be, I think the environment is going to be very hostile until I do get Wi-Fi for the house.
This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bass.
Louis Karpis, I hope you enjoyed all of those. Those were especially for you. And just to go through them quickly in a bit of order there, we had Stan Matthews, who many of us know, and very happy birthday to Stan as well today. We had our good Dr. Anton Marburg, as well as Michael Abramson. And what would a report be on sport without Zanatti? So, Louis, I just want to thank you so much for inspiring us, for making the sports reports every morning more than just reading an article that we can all do. Thank you for bringing the creativity, the flavor, the enthusiasm, and making it so exciting.
Thanks, Ian. It's a pleasure. And I guess the digs at me from the Liverpool fans, they can have a go as much as they like. When they've won as many Premier Leagues as Manchester United have won, they're welcome to have a go. And there's no doubt that they are the best team. Stanley Matthews summed it up the best of all. Alisson is by far the best player in that side, because you think of the glory days of Man United, it was Peter Schmeichel who ultimately, with even with Eric Cantona and the others in the side, if you have a great goalkeeper, that's where it starts. Virgil van Dijk in the back helps as well. And my good friend Michael Abramson, Michael, come on, I know you support Norwich and have done forever, and I respect you for that, unlike so many Liverpool fans who've never supported Liverpool, but all of a sudden they now don't want to walk alone because Liverpool are going to win the title. But in all seriousness, there is only one team that deserves to win the Premier League this year, and that is Liverpool. And they've set a benchmark for everybody to chase next year, or next season at least. And I hope it is more competitive, and I hope it doesn't become like Real Madrid and Barcelona in Spain, as it has been for the last couple of seasons with Liverpool and Manchester City. I certainly hope Arsenal and Chelsea and, of course, Manchester United get in the mix. And it's been a pleasure to be with you, Ian. It's been lovely to reminisce.
Thank you, Louis. Take care. That's where we leave it for today. This has been a special edition of the Lunch Bite. Enjoy the football. Take care. We'll be back next week.